first Sunday after Christmas Eve, to celebrate once again the birth of the Christ child and the light that shines in the world. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Thank you, Mark, for our wonderful time of prelude this morning. And we want to welcome you to First Baptist Elon for the opportunity to worship this morning. We're glad that you gathered with your family and friends this morning to join us via Facebook Live for our worship service this day. For those that are listening a little bit later on our website or CD ministry, we hope that you and your families have been blessed this time, this time with family during the season of Christmas. We are in the Christmas season. In the church calendar this year, this time after the celebration of Christmas Eve leading up to Epiphany next Sunday. And so we hope that you bask in the presence of the Christ child this day and in the coming days as we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I just do want to remind you that here at First Baptist Elon, we are celebrating the season as well, and we've got the office closed a couple days this week. I know we have lots of people that like to come by the week after Christmas. Just a reminder that this week, Monday and Tuesday, the church office will be closed, but you're welcome to come Wednesday or Thursday to pick up Christmas cards that we still have here left to the church to drop off last-minute offerings for this calendar year, or just to come by and say hello. We'll be in the office Wednesday and Thursday this week. We'll hope that you come and join us and visit us this week. I also just want to remind you that just like this Sunday, the next two Sundays here at First Baptist Elon will just be a virtual worship service at 10 a.m. We're doing this in the post-Christmas time gatherings to provide safety for not just for our worship leaders, but for our congregation as a whole. So for the next two Sundays, join us at 10 a.m. just on Facebook Live for worship, and we hope that you will be music, scripture reading, prayer, and the time just to gather with your families at home to worship together. This week, Wednesday night, I will be wrapping up our Advent study that we have been doing on Facebook Live this Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. On Facebook Live, we'll be wrapping up Adam Hamilton's book, Incarnation, as we read the epilogue in his book, which is focused on the arrival of the wise men. And that's what we'll be celebrating next Sunday on Epiphany Sunday, where we celebrate those gifts that were brought to the Christ job by the wise men, and we'll celebrate that. And I challenge you to think about this week, what gifts are you bringing to Christ? What gifts are you bringing to Jesus this upcoming year? Two other things just to mention in our time this morning. The first thing I want to remind you is that you received an email this week about a new program we're going to start here at First Baptist Elon. Hopefully it won't take very long to achieve this, but we recognize that we have many shut-ins in our church family, and we've been connecting with them through these last couple months with CDs and taking them to their homes so they can experience worship at home. And this year, we're trying to transition that a little bit. We recognize that sometimes seeing what's going on in the worship service can be even more meaningful than just listening to the worship service. So this coming year, we're going to be transitioning to visual DVDs that we'll be delivering to the shut-ins. Now, some of these shut-ins have DVD players already, and all we'll have to require is take them a disc. But we do recognize that there are some in our church family that do not have that technology in their homes. So we're running a program called Sponsor a Shut-In. And basically, for essentially $200, we could purchase a new DVD TV player, one of the same, that they can watch the worship services on a weekly basis when we take those visual DVDs to them. Now, if you are interested in this program and sponsoring a shut-in, $200, that is great. You can send it via your envelopes each week, or you can just bring an envelope by the church office sometime in the next week or two. Or if you would just like to partially sponsor a shut-in, we understand that as well. But we're taking those funds in the next couple weeks and hope to make this a reality in the next couple weeks here at First Baptist Elon. Last but not least, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for your generosity of bringing items to the church pantry here at the church. It is now overflowing, and we are ready to meet the needs of those in our community in this upcoming new year. We also want to thank you for your generosity to the CBF Global Missions offering. This year, we raised over $1,300 to support missionaries, CBF missionaries around the world. I will give you an update. Carson and Laura Fushi are safely in Japan. They have cleared that 14-day quarantine period in Japan. But I also will let you know that they have now shut the border in Japan, so nobody else could come in. So fortunately, Carson and Laura and Ada were able to get in that small window, and we know that their ministry in Japan will be continuing. Some of those funds that you gave to the CBF Global Missions offering will go specifically to support them. So that's what I want to say. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity this Christmas season, and we look forward to how God is going to use us in the upcoming year. I hope you've pulled up the bulletin for this Sunday on the church website, www.fbc-elon.org. If you haven't, go ahead and do that right now, because we want you to join us in singing. We want you to join us in scripture reading, and we want you to be a part and participate in the worship service today. Let us sing praise to the Lord this morning.
Well, good morning. Our first song of praise this morning is Go Tell It on the Mountain. What a better way to start the morning out than to go tell it.
opening scripture reading once again comes from the prophet Isaiah. We turn to him many times during this Advent season, and now as we transition into the Christmas season. Reading from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 10 through chapter 62, verse 1. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem, I will not remain quiet, till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. As we reflect on these words of the prophet Isaiah and what it meant for Christ to come into this world and the impact that he has had on our lives this day and in this season and for the year to come, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We give our best to you, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, in worship this morning, the best of our attention so that we might truly know your will, the best of our love so that others know we have been changed, the best of our efforts so that our witness may be strong, the best of our time so that we are not found wanting. We give our best to you this day, Lord Jesus Christ, for you gave your life for us, and for this we can proclaim every day, not just this day, Alleluia. Thank you, God, for coming. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our next song of praise this morning is Good Christian Men Rejoice, but we're going to change one word in this today. We're going to sing Good Christian Friends Rejoice. So you'll see the words behind me on the screen. And if you're at home and watching, please stand up so you don't go to sleep while you're sitting on the couch. And so stand and sing with us, Good Christian Friends Rejoice.
Leading a new winter Bible study, like we used to traditionally do years ago. This year, Winter Bible Study will be on Facebook Live on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. The new study will look at the prison epistles of Colossians and Philemon, penned by the Apostle Paul. The eight-week study will look at the emotion and intentionality that Paul wrote with in the midst of a difficult time, not just for himself, but for Christians as a whole, as he was imprisoned in the Roman Empire. I think his words and messages found in these two letters will be both refreshing for us and challenging as we begin this new year to seek to honor God. All you will need to join me with this Bible study is your Bible with you. You don't need any extra book or anything. You just need your Bible and a little bit of time on Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. I encourage you to join me with your friends and your family for this study. Of course, if you can't make the Wednesday night study time, know that it will be on our Facebook page for you to go back and follow. There will be a study guide that we'll put on the church website each week, and a study guide will be coming out this week with a reading in advance for the eight-week study. So I hope you will join me on Wednesday nights in the new year as we look at these letters of Colossians and Philemon, and I hope we draw closer not only to each other but to God through this study.
Were a little different this year, the reason for Christmas remains constant. And now we ask you to bless our offerings, to spread Jesus' light and love to all the people, both near and far. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bernie Gay, for that wonderful music celebration this day. You know, sometimes for those that are watching on Facebook Live this morning and for those that have watched and kind of seen some of the worship service we put together this past few months, oftentimes you don't get to see the individuals behind the camera, as you would say, that are assisting us each and and every Sunday. Obviously, Bert, we want to thank you for providing the musical, the piano during this Christmas season. But every Sunday of worship, Mark plays the organ a couple Sundays each month. Gay constantly works as a hard, dedicated worker and leading music and getting our singers together. Susan and Susan, thank you for joining us in worship this morning and leading in music, and the many other choir members who come and sing each Sunday to provide music in this time of worship. Those are the individuals that you often see. But the individuals you don't see are those that are behind the camera, maybe intentionally or not intentionally, we don't know. But Jerry Soden leads our sound each Sunday, and we're thankful for his dedication there. The Farnham family is here pretty much every Sunday, running the camera. John's running the camera and the Facebook Live feed. Catherine and David assist us on the PowerPoint. Sally's over here doing whatever she can do to assist, turning music for Bert, playing instruments, running the PowerPoint sometimes. But it's just, we're just thankful for those behind the scenes. We also want to thank Michael Albert, who runs the CDs each week from us, from the website. He maintains the website and he runs those CDs so we can deliver those each week. So many individuals behind the scenes that you might not get to see. And so I just wanted to shout out this year, at the end of this year and for this upcoming year. So make sure you give thanks to these individuals. When you see them, send them a message, a text, an email, or just comment on the Facebook Live feed and thank them for all their hard work each and every Sunday. As we gather here this day, we need to come to a time of God and confess those things in our lives. Maybe we've been reflecting on this past year. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning in a time of confession this day. We confess, O God, that we are not ready to come down from the Christmas high. So much time was spent in gathering, wrapping, and delivering gifts, and preparing for small family gatherings and decorating our homes. But somehow, right after Christmas Day, we feel a little bit of a letdown. We don't want that high to be over. We want to feel the peace on earth feeling, but sometimes we let it go too quickly. We push it aside when we begin our journey of complaining and blaming others for everything that is going wrong. We ignore the blessing of the gift when we refuse to help those in need. Shake us up, Lord, this day. Get us ready to be people of compassion and hope, not just during this Christmas season, but this entire year. Wake us up, Lord. Help us see the beauty and possibilities of peace around us. Fill us up, Lord. Fill us to overflowing with joy that only you can bring. Let our words, our thoughts, and our actions speak of your love for us. In Jesus' name, we come to you and pray this day. Amen. As we turn our attention to our sermon and scripture passage this day, I just again want to thank you for joining us with your families via Facebook Live this day for the first Sunday after Christmas week. My hope is that your family and friends had a chance to gather and had a wonderful celebration of Christmas in the last few days. And I know some are continuing that celebration in the coming days ahead. We are officially in the season of Christmas in the church calendar. Oftentimes we think the season of Christmas is what leads up to Christmas Day. But in the church calendar, the season of Christmas actually begins on Christmas Eve and carries us all the way to the Sunday that we'll celebrate Epiphany. This is a time, the church, where we're called to follow and continue to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, where we are challenged to bask in the joyous presence of our Savior, feeling the peace that he can bring during this season, sharing that love with all that we encounter. Now, society will try to push us to the next holiday. Society has already put all the way the Christmas decorations where they've thrown them in the corner on the sale rack, and now they're wanting to push towards New Year's, and even some stores are already putting Valentine's things out this day. But let's be patient. Let's remain in the afterglow of the light of the Christ child this Christmas season, this day, and the coming days. You know, after the year that we've had in 2020, someone say, I just can't wait for this year to be over. I can't wait for 2021 to get here. Well, I'm sorry to be a Debbie Downer on you today, but just because the calendar changes to January 1st, 2021, doesn't guarantee that all the details are going to change. And realizing that, I would encourage you that we not rush to get to 2021. You know, instead, maybe we need to be patient, learning from what we have gained from this past year, and also learning from the model of individuals in Scripture who were patient in the midst of a difficult time. This morning, we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke and two of those individuals in Scripture today. So you can go ahead and pull your Bibles out. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 2 this day. But before we turn to our focus passage this morning, I want to share a little story, a little funny story I came across in the last couple of weeks. One night, a husband and wife were lying in bed, and they were awakened at 3 a.m. by a loud pounding on their door. You know, one of those night sounds you hear in the night, you're like, what in the world's going on? Maybe you've been there the last couple nights. I know one night I was in that situation. But a loud pounding on the door at 3 a.m. The husband gets up and goes to the door where a disoriented stranger in the pouring rain is asking for a push because his car had careened into the ditch. Not a chance, says the husband. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He slams the door and returns to bed. Who was it, asked his wife as he gets back to bed that night. Oh, just a disoriented, drunken stranger asking for a push in the middle of the night, he answers. Well, did you help him, the wife asked. No, of course not. It's 3 in the morning. It's pitch black out there and pouring down rain. The wife responded, well, you sure do have a short memory, don't you? Can't you remember just a couple months ago when we broke down on vacation and those two gentlemen helped us out? I think you should go help them. Of course, the man does, as he is told, gets dressed, goes out in the pouring rain, and calls out into the dark, hello! Are you still there? Yes, comes the answer. Do you still need a push? Calls out the husband. Yes, please, comes the reply from the dark. Well, where are you? Asks the husband. Over here sitting on your swing set, says the man. I was just waiting for you to change your mind and come help me. Patience isn't always easy, but the rewards that come from it can be life-changing. Let us look at the story of Simeon and Anna from Scripture to see how this patience that they follow may serve as a lesson for us, an alternative instead to rushing to the new year. If you have your Bibles handy, turn with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. This morning we'll be reading verses 22 through 40. We've been spending quite a bit of time in Luke this Advent season. The words will be displayed on the screen behind me if you want to follow that way. And as you turn in your Bibles to this passage, we're picking up the story of Jesus' birth. I want you to understand this. This is part of the continuing story, the story of his birth and the immediate events that took place in the following days and weeks after the shepherds had left from the manger scene. You see, 8 days later, Joseph and Mary followed the Jewish in having Jesus circumcised and officially naming him, officially giving him the name Jesus. Most likely, this was probably done in the temporary home they were staying in Bethlehem, unable to travel after the birth. That's usually what took place. Now, understanding Jewish history for a second, 1 month after his birth, Jesus, being the firstborn son, had to be presented to God, since he was the firstborn son of Mary. And this is what's referred to as the redemption of the firstborn. However, because of purification reasons, they had to wait to the 40th day. A woman, after giving birth to a son, would wait 40 days to be officially clean. In that time, if you gave birth to a daughter, it would take 80 days to be clean. This brings us to our focal passage this day. reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem and sent him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male was to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their hometown of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. As we reflect on these words of Scripture in the aftermath of the celebration of Christmas, the birth of the Christ child, I think there's two important lessons we can learn, one from Simeon and one from Anna. You see, Simeon, a righteous older man in the eyes of the Lord, remained patient in the presence of God and was blessed finally to meet the Messiah. Only Luke among the gospel writers tells us or mentions Simeon by name. He emerges on the scene in the temple unexpectedly and basically departs just as quickly. Mary and Joseph are bringing 5 shekels to the temple for dedication of Jesus, as every parent did. There would have been a variety of people doing a host of things in the temple courts that day, so it wasn't like they were the only ones there. In the temple courts, there would be a variety of other people doing a variety of other things. You can name it, and they probably were doing it. Simeon is one of those individuals in the temple court that day. Very little was said about this man, but a few assumptions can be made based on what we see. One, that he was a man of righteousness and faith. In general, the Jewish people at that time were very shallow in their faith at this time in biblical history. They did the proper things. They made the sacrifices that they were required to make. They followed the law as it was written, but inwardly, they were distant from God. Everyone should have been looking for the Messiah. Everybody should have been awaiting the Messiah, just as Simeon was. Prophetically, the time and the location were given to them many years in the past, of course, and they should have been anticipating. However, the religious leadership of the day was corrupt. They were seeking to basically just appease the ruling Roman Empire rather than focusing on the Messiah. Among the Jewish population, however, there was a few devoutly committed remnant. They desired to see God's promise fulfilled because they knew that they put their trust and faith in God. They desired to see God's promises fulfilled because they put their trust only in Him. Simeon was one of these faithful followers. Simeon was one of these until he had seen the Christ. What a special blessing. Can you imagine that? What a blessing that is. And when Jesus arrives in the temple courts that day, he finally can say to himself, I can die in peace. How many times do you think in his older age, Simeon's older age, that maybe death's door was really close, and he would go turn and say, nope, not yet. Not yet. Meaning Jesus brought him peace. Meaning Jesus brought him a lifetime of peace. His patience in the presence of God brought him redemption. Simeon was described in Scripture as righteous and devout. He was righteous because his first and his only focus was singularly placed in the arrival of the Messiah, who he would now know was Jesus. He was devout because he was concerned only with the things of God, honoring God through his words and his actions. He was not self-serving. He wasn't self-serving. It wasn't about Simeon. His heart was for God, and his heart was for his people. He was patient in his faith. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. When he saw Joseph, Mary, and Jesus walk in, we can imagine the Spirit jumped within him just as it had jumped in Elizabeth's womb a couple months before. The elation of joy that we feel when we experience the presence of God is overwhelming. The elation of joy that was probably on the face of Simeon that day as he scooped the Messiah up in his arms and kissed him on the cheek. He then does what a righteous man does, and he blesses God. What an amazing place to be in your life. What an amazing place. Simeon's faithful patience had finally paid off. He had met the Messiah. He was at peace. And that is what patience can bring in our time today. Patience can bring peace to our hearts and our souls. I think that is something that we all could really need about this time of year. A little bit of peace. Simeon shows how if you live your life out for God, in each moment of every day, the blessing that we receive from that patience is peace. Simeon wasn't the only individual in the temple courts that day. Many others were there, but one woman is mentioned in Luke's gospel. He was Anna. Anna was a prophet, a prophetess as it's described in the scripture, but a prophet of God who was also present and waiting for the Lord. Only mentioned in the Gospel of Luke, just like Simeon, Anna would also be characterized as one of those faithful remnant, one of those that were still holding on to the belief that the Messiah would come. Anna spoke for God. She was viewed as a reverent person in the temple courts. Some would call her an elder of those days. She was one to turn to when they needed to experience God's presence. She was a singularly devout prophet of God. Now, Anna was a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was a widow, advanced in years. Many scholars debate how old Anna was. We're given a little detail in Scripture, but some of it could be read a couple different ways. Biblical scholars debate whether she was a widow for 84 years, which would make her probably around the age of 104, or maybe that she was widowed young and she was currently 84 years in age, or maybe 91 based on the numbers. Either way, she is a woman who has lived the entirety of her life. Another important piece of information that we don't want to forget is that she never left the temple. Never. Did you hear that? Never. Now, I'll be honest, there are some times that I spend too much time in church. I mean, as a pastor, sometimes we feel that way. There are some times where I think, I just need to leave the building. But Anna never left the temple courts. Never.
She spent her time praying and fasting before God. One could imagine that her prayers were focused on one hope and one hope alone, the coming of the Messiah. Instead of food, which Anna fasted from, Anna was consumed with the spiritual reverence, the spiritual matters of God. Now, when Joseph and Mary arrived with baby Jesus, Anna recognizes her Messiah. How do you do that? You spend 84 years of focusing on God. And when you are in the presence of God, you know. After years of praying patiently for the consolation and redemption of her people of Israel, she finally was able to give thanks to God. Finally! I'm sure many in the temple courts saw Anna as extreme. Oh, she's one of those, I think the term used to be a holy roller. Many would call Anna a holy roller. But she knew the presence of God when she was in his presence. Her years of patiently waiting, praying, and fasting finally paid off. The years of grief, of losing her husband, pain watching her country being overtaken by what she saw as the sinful Roman Empire, the hurt seeing her people slide further and further away from God. Now, Anna had hope. Hope for the present. Hope for the future. Maybe we can identify with this faithful woman this morning. Maybe we can identify with Anna this year. A year marked by, for some, many pain, grief, and even hurt. Yet, through her patience, Anna was revived with hope in experiencing the Christ child. We too can be revived with the same hope in the afterglow of the celebration of Christmas this year. Hope for the present. Hope for the future. However, let's not rush these days for that hope of another. Let's not rush from this day to get to 5 or 6 days later when we celebrate the new year. Let's remain and let's be patient, just as Anna was, as we experience this day for the Lord. Not next week, but this day. In closing, the English poet Christina Rossetti once penned these words: obedience is the fruit of the faith. Patience is the bloom on that fruit. Let me repeat that. Obedience is the fruit of the faith. Patience is the bloom on that fruit. Both Simeon and Anna lived obedient lives for God. Through their obedience, they learned the fruit of what being patient looks like. Their patience paid off. It paid off in getting to experience the presence of their Savior. That day. In this season of Christmas, in which we are still celebrating, our patience can allow us to experience the very presence of God that Simeon and Anna experienced in a fresh, new way. From this patience burst forth both peace, like Simeon had, and hope, like Anna had, not just for the past, but for the present day and for the future. But let's not rush through these days to get to 2021, because we have some patience to practice in the days ahead. Basking in the presence of God, may we find patience for a new year. Let's pray. Father, as we are basking in the light of the arrival of the Christ child, and maybe while our mind rushes to things ahead, may we just remain in the present. Remain in this present time of experiencing you this day. And in experiencing that and showing that patience, Father, fill us with peace and hope, not just for today, but for tomorrow and the next. Father, that's what this season is all about. That's what this Christmas season is. It's about being in your presence and being made new. Thank you for the models of Simeon and Anna so many years ago. May we follow their devotion. May we follow their patience. And may we experience that same peace and hope that they did. We lift this prayer in the name of the Christ child who has been born as a gift to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we conclude our time of worship this day, if someone has spoken to you, if it was the words of the music, is the scripture passages, if it's the sermon today, or maybe it's just an experience you had over the last couple days of celebrating Christmas. Maybe you've experienced that peace and hope that only Christ can bring in a special way for the very first time. If you need to get in contact with me, please contact our church office. I will call you back as soon as I can, and we'll spend time talking about what Christ has done in your life and what he'll do in the future. Maybe today you're seeking a church home after the afterglow of the celebration of Christmas. Maybe you feel, you know what, I need to get back in reading the Word, in following the Word, in living out the Word in my life, and I need a church home that just loves Christ and loves him and follows him day by day. Maybe this church is the church for you. I encourage you to call this week as well. Or maybe just today, maybe you realize that you're already rushing to New Year. You're already rushing to the future. Maybe you recognize that maybe just today, maybe tomorrow, that I need to be patient in the Lord and experiencing that peace and hope that he can bring. Find that space at home. Find that place where you can be one with God, encouraging you to be patient this time of year. As we sing our closing hymn, our closing carol today, whatever decision that you need to make this day, don't put it off. Don't put it off to tomorrow or next Sunday. Let it be today. Let us sing together in closing. Until we come together again, may you find safety and hope in the Lord.